What up? What up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Thank you guys for definitely listening in today. Got a dope guest for you today. Man, let me take my time and read this man's resume a little bit. Born in Fresno, California, attended Edison High School. Later on, went to go get a scholarship at Fresno City after a brief stint here in Sacramento, where we became teammates for a short period of time. He also from there went on to graduate from Fresno State College with a degree, as well as, let me go here with it, he is your current Yahoo Sports Senior NBA Insider. He's the host of his dope podcast called Post It Up. You see my bro on TNT, ESPN's Undisputed, Speak for Yourself, and many other top of the lines, headline shows, sidelines of the games and the finals, man. He's been with the Warriors, the Trailblazers, the Cavs. And this one's definitely a dope person. I'm glad he's on, took time out of his schedule. I'm none other than Chris Haynes, man. Chris, what's up, my guy?
JT, man. So, you joined the podcast.
Yeah, man. You know, like I said, man, you know, we got an iron sharpens iron, man. That's always been us and how we motivated and move, bro. So, you know what I mean? Like I said, bro, I'm definitely enjoying it. I'm learning. I will say that I'm learning on the way, but it's definitely dope, man. It's been exciting, though, to hear stuff that I learned, even about some of my close friends that just, you know, we haven't talked about in a while or we haven't got into, bro. So I'm definitely, I'm excited to see where this goes, and I'm going to keep pushing, bro.
Do your thing, man.
Yes, sir.
You hit me up.
I
think it took me long to respond, man.
It didn't. I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Like I said, man. But that's what we do for each other. That's the one thing I can count on. We're going to do that for each other, bro. So, like the show's title says, bro, 94 feet. As you know, we're going to jump right into this thing. So, people may know, they hear Jalen Green now. They talk about Fresno. But give me a little bit for you about just what Fresno means to you, man, and what where it holds a place at in your heart and your daily life. Where's Fresno at?
Yeah, man. I love my city. I went through... You know, I had a lot of pain, a lot of struggling, within my city. And I think a lot of people probably feel the same way about where they come from.
Right.
You know, I grew, man. I learned, man. Like, you know, as it pertains to sports, man, I fell in love with basketball late. And I mean late, like in ninth grade. And, you know, if you're a real hooper, that's kind of late for basketball standards.
Yeah.
I remember when I tried out for my first basketball team as a fresh guy cut, JT.
Hey, me too, bro.
So I got cut my freshman year. I got cut my sophomore year. And my junior year, which I felt like I really like, because I was one of the most athletic people in the school. And I really felt like I belonged on the varsity team.
Right.
Even though I haven't played, but I was still working and just getting better and better. The coaches, they see my improvement, but they were like, you know what? You haven't played organized ball yet.
Man.
You know? Yeah. So we're going to put you on JV. So I played JV as a junior. I was reluctant to do so because all my boys and everybody, you know, they on varsity as juniors. And so, but I did it. I was about average like 17 or something. Then, you know, I went to go play varsity the following year.
Yep.
But I bring that up, JT. Fresno taught me how to persevere.
Right.
And that's what it means to me. Like, it taught me how to work and fight and claw. So when I went to Sac City, that's when I met you.
Yep.
So when I went to Sac City, I knew I had an uphill battle of making the team. Because, you know, coach recruited like five or six guys, and there was probably maybe only two spots available, really.
Yep.
You know, you guys had a spot, Aaron, because y'all were returning players. But I was kind of comfortable in that mold because I worked my butt off, man. Like, I worked my butt off to try to get on that team, and that's what I wanted to do. So that's what Fresno instilled in me. That's kind of how I feel Fresno is. It's a place where it can kill a lot of people, literally, spiritually.
Yeah.
But it's also a place that where if you show that you got fight in you, it can end up just looking like a nice scenario for you.
And I definitely can, again, being able to witness that from four of my good friends, like, you know what I mean? Like, all y'all come together, but everybody's story is different. From you, Jay, Steve, A, it's like same location, but then everybody's like, look, everybody took a different path. Through sports, through ball, but also through like the hard times, right? Like we all know, like them our stories of being together eating this, taking this, you know, trying to buy each other food, looking out for each other to where we are now, right? It's been a huge, yeah. Like, you know what? We had to go through some things to get here, though. You know what I mean? Because if it wouldn't have been that fight in us, bro, there's no telling what would happen. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
But JT, I want to say this, man. I owe your mom and BJ's mom a ton of gratitude for, you know, what y'all did for us, you know, coming up. We, you know, we 19 at the time.
Right.
We never left Fresno before. And, you know, your mom opened up your house to Aaron, and BJ's mom opened up her house to, you know, us initially. And
right.
We came from nothing, man. Like, she didn't, you know, I don't know. I'm telling you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody in Fresno, any of my relatives, any of my friends who would have done that. Just open their house to some young strangers. And you know, we didn't really have jobs, man. Like, we wasn't really able to pay rent. We were going
side hustle
full time. Basketball practice, man. It's unreal, man. But allowing us to have that experience to like see something new.
Right.
And it opened up all of our eyes. And I'm telling you right now, JT, like, you're pretty familiar with Fresno now, man. It's like, a lot of our friends, man, are like dead or in jail right now.
Yeah.
And that could have easily been us had we not, you know, gotten out and seeing new things. So I owe what you and y'all family did, man, and kind of set us up to have success.
But I think the dope part is for me, right? So even coming from you not being familiar with Sac, but like me, BJ were, but you know what I mean? Again, our parents, single parent home somewhat, but our family ties was good as far as like relationships, but basketball is what made us kind of like, cause again, us going to Fresno was like, you know what? I mean, I've seen South Sac, Meadowview hoods. Like I've been around, I grew up in Meadowview, but also seeing Fresno, like, okay, people talk about it, you see it on TV, but until you go there. But for me, it was like, I always felt safe, but I also knew I was with dudes who knew where to go, what not to go, what time to go with, but also I got to be around people. It's family, you know what I mean? Yo, family, Aaron, family, sister, they like, they call us brothers. We was always brothers. And I was like, from the day one, it wasn't AJ, it was JT, but brothers. And I was like, okay, they accepted us the same way we accepted them. So we really forever linked now, as you know now, right? As we know now, like once that happened, it was like, how mama doing? The jokes started coming as we joke with each other. We talk madness, but it was comfortable because we knew whatever that ball, that relationship, it brought us together. And it was like, I got your back, dog. Good, bad, ugly. We gonna hold each other accountable as we know we always do, right? And I was like, as young men then, I think that was a great foundation for us to kind of not be a statistic, right? Like, stay out the statistics. I'm gonna hold you accountable. We gonna have a good time with each other, but also we gonna make sure, we gotta make sure we make some smart decisions because we could go the other way, especially during those, you know what I mean, that time, man, for sure.
And it's good to see all of us.
Yeah, still here.
All of us are doing good.
Yes, sir.
All of us.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't happen like that, man. Like, we all are doing good. I'm looking at each and every one of you, and I'm proud to say, y'all my friends, y'all my brothers, man. Like, y'all really doing positive things in the community, man, and really solid people, man. I'm being real, man, like, where I'm from, I can't say that. I can't say, like, the friends that I grew up with in Fresno, I can't say that they were all,
It's definitely humbling. Cool, I think our parents, too, just to see a look on, like, I think your party, bro, I know we moving around right now, but your party a few years ago, just to see a look on your parents, see a look on your parents' face. I'll never forget that. They were so happy, bro.
JT, hold on, man. I got to give props. Man, the wife is
right there. She go. Yeah,
She put it together.
Yeah, but it was like freezing after that night. That sun went down, but we had fun. But it was so just, like, to see the look on your parents' face, her face, because everybody, you know, it took everybody, right? If it was her, if it was mom, dad, us being on you, vice versa, us taking losses to really be like, you know what? But now I swear to God, every time, you can't stop me from being on TV, every time you come on, like, that's my dog. I'm like, Chris Tucker, I'm like, that's my dog. I'll be on it, bro.
You be sending me the clips.
All the time, bro, because
man, I appreciate.
Because that story, bro, that grind is unreplaceable, man. So let's talk about that, because I did some more research on you, bro. Like, I had to go back and do some research. let's get to this. Okay, actually, after high school, you come to Sac. We get to Sac, though. But leaving Sac, Fresno was the first move back home for a minute, right, before you got to Fresno Pacific? Or was there a stop in between there so much?
After Sac
City? Yeah, after we left Sac City.
After Sac City, I went to Columbia Gym.
That's where it was. Columbia.
I redshirted there.
Okay.
I redshirted there. I didn't leave Sac City on the best of terms academically.
Right.
You know, that was abrupt leave.
Hey.
I had to come get my baby.
JT. Yeah. Hey. Well, we know the story. I know the back. Hey. We're a young man. You're a young man making grown man decisions. You had to.
I'm going to tell a story.
Okay.
Hold on. We tell the story.
All right, let's go.
Hey, I ain't telling everything, but I'm telling the story.
Let's go.
So, I'm at Saxon. We're December,
yep.
Right? And so, me and my girl, who was my girl at the time, she's my wife, we've been married 17 years now. Yep, 17 years now. But she was my girlfriend at the time. So, we went through a little breakup at the time. I'm like, went through the breakup while I'm at Sac City. And it was just bothering me, JT.
That was fall 2001. I remember. I remember, bro. Hey, I do that well. I remember. Yes, go. Come on.
and so, you know, she broke up with me and I was cool. I wasn't cool, but I was dealing with it.
Yes.
She ended up getting another boyfriend. And I'm like, because I've been with her since she was 15. I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so at this time, it's 2 years later.
Right.
So I'm like, she's really all I had, all I know, like as for a real girlfriend. So she got a boyfriend. It stung me, but I'm like, all right, whatever. So I get a call, JT, from my boy Felix. My boy Felix Hawkins in Fresno.
Yeah, he was actually Felix.
At that.
Yeah,
he was actually at our little boat party.
Yeah,
he called me. He was like, "Hey, man, I see your girl with such and such. It's like a Wednesday or something, JT, and it's like 11:30 at night." So I'm like, "Hold on." It was nighttime. I'm like, hold on, man. She is senior high school. What's she doing, like, out so late?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on? Like, and I couldn't, JT, I couldn't think. You know, back then, we had practice at, like, 5 in the morning,
yep.
6, something
yep.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But practice 5 in the morning. And so I'm just debating on, I'm in Sacramento. This is like a 2.5-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I got this beat old bucket back here where I know it's going to stop any minute. Like, I'm just like buying time with this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm on the floor at BJ's house. Yeah. And it's like all of y'all around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just thinking in my head. Like, y'all don't know what's going in my head, but I'm just thinking. And then next thing I know, I got up on my feet.
You was out.
I'm going to Fresno.
You was out.
I'm going to Fresno.
I'm gone.
And Steve is like, what you talking about going to Fresno? Man, we got practice at 5 in the morning. Like, what you talking about?
Yep.
Like, I'm gone, man. I'm getting this girl something going on. I'm getting... JT, I kid you not.
Nonstop.
I don't know how the car made it. I drove from Sacramento to Fresno going 105 straight.
At nighttime. Straight.
At nighttime, JT, I couldn't remember, like, my whole mind, like, was just on what I'm going to do to this dude, what I'm going to say to this girl.
Bro.
Like, my whole mindset was on that. Like, I don't remember driving. Like, it had to be God just guiding that wheel, man.
Yeah.
It had to be.
It wasn't nobody else, because I remember correctly, too. We was like, this dude is crazy, one. And I was like, dog, you can get up in the morning, don't go to practice or something, but by the time we could even think something, you were already gone and it was over. Wasn't no calling you back over there. And yeah, the car was like, I don't know how you gonna make it. I don't even, like, it was the car, like, that was. And think about it again, we can laugh about it now, but we was like, what is wrong with this dude right here, boy? She done got the mind control. My man said, I'm out.
JT, I got there in an hour. I kid you not. I got to Fresno in an hour.
Oh, yeah. You was flying,
went up
bro.
To her, confronted the dude.
That's crazy, bro.
And I stayed there for 3 days. And make a long story short, Coach was on me. Coach Jones,
yeah.
Andrew Jones. You know, he was mad.
Yeah.
He was like, you fought all this much. Like, you fought hard
yeah.
to be a part of this team. And then you're going to do it. Oh, I lied to Coach. I told him something that happened to my dad.
The family.
And that's why I got the okay.
Okay.
I ended up, long story short, with this situation, I got my girl back.
You did?
Been back ever since.
You
I
did.
Got her back. But then I went and told Coach. I felt bad. I went and told Coach what really happened. And he was mad.
Yeah.
Like, he was mad. He was like, you fought so hard. You lied to me. Put on your dad.
Yeah.
Who does that? Who puts on a dad? And so me and Coach was kind of strained for a little bit.
You know, he's big on the trust issue. You know that. So that was kind of,
It was strange. Like, it was never the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went to December. You know, I don't mean to keep going
on this shit. You good.
I remember we were at a tournament in Visalia, playing the COS tournament in Visalia. And I was sharing a room with Brent. You know, Brent, crazy. Sharing a room with him.
Yep.
And so he threw a basketball at me. Brent is big old, strong, 6'5", dude, man. He might have been on steroids back then. I don't know.
Hey, is that when you moved out the way? Is that when you moved out the way?
Hey, yeah. So he moved out the way.
Oh.
Brent is by a window.
Okay.
Brent is by the window. We're in the hotel room. And he throws a basketball hard at me. I throw it hard back at him. He catches it. Throws it back at me. And so I'm like, swing that basketball. I threw that thing so hard.
Out the window.
He moved out the way. It broke the glass.
Broke the window. The
ball went through the back. Security came all up to our room.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And this is mid-December.
Mm-hmm. Cold.
And, yeah, cold. Like, and I'm not, you know, I'm not playing, which I wasn't tripping about that because I was happy to be on a team. Like, I fought to get on the team. But I wasn't playing. Coach was already, you know, still mad at me from that incident.
Right.
Because we didn't really talk again after that. And then I had to pay for those damages.
Yeah.
So he had told me, he was like, look, the next trips, you don't get meal money, whatever.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, you know what? It ain't no point of staying on the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's when I made the decision to move back to Fresno.
But, you know, I think he... We can all attest that he had reasons for everything he did. Because, I mean, when I had Aaron A on, we talked about him not going that first trip. The look on his face, that sophomore year, he go out walking that bus.
I remember that,
You ain't get no uniform.
His grades.
His grades. He had to stay. And we looked at him like, and then Jermaine go say, can I get that Walkman? He said, can I take your Walkman? I said, come on, Jermaine. But it was funny because we laughed about it. But I was like, our best player not going?
It was the day of. And we're like, how are we not going to bring Aaron?
Hey.
Like our first road trip,
first year, sophomore. But he didn't have, that was their agreement. Take care of them grades. He knew what Aaron had going, but he was like, you didn't handle your business. The cold part, we still went out and we beat two teams bad out there in the Bay Area that weekend. But yeah, man. So, hey, that's the memories, bro. Like I said, if people had to really be there, to feel it, but I mean, every time I talk about it, I feel it, bro. Like, it's, I ain't never gonna forget that the times, man. So,
hey, but
go ahead.
Not to close it on Coach Jones on a bad note. Coach Jones, about 3 years ago, it's about 3 years ago, we talked. I can't remember where we were at, but he apologized. Like, I didn't hold that against him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was always grateful for Coach Jones for giving me a chance. Like, I used to tell him, like, I know you got guys you recruited. I know you got guys that you like more. I said, just give me a chance. Like, I'm going to work my butt off. I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never, like, and don't get me wrong, I hold grudges, as you know. Mm-hmm. I hold grudges. But I never really held a grudge on Coach Jones because I was grateful for the opportunity he gave me. But, like, 3 years ago, it might have been a little bit longer. I forgot where we were at. Had it been at Sac City, but he came to me and I think it might have been at Aaron House at one time. He said he felt bad for how he treated me back then. And he was like, he didn't understand some things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that meant a lot to me. You know what I mean? Like, even though I didn't hold that against him, for him to do that meant a lot for him to say that. That meant a lot to me.
Right. And,
he ended up giving me my jersey. My jersey that I scored 2 points in that whole season.
Hey, but what was the agreement, though? It was, you go to school, you get that degree. It wasn't about points. It wasn't about playing time.
That's right.
It was, you know what I mean? So, and I think, as we know, he's definitely a young coach at the time. He was his second group in. So he was still a young head coach at the time. He was learning. And now he's been that same way as far as being honest, upfront, and changing. But one thing he always said, though, you bring that, you graduate. I don't care about you playing. Get that jersey, bro. So like you said, 2 points or 2,000 points. It don't even matter, bro, which is super dope, man. He's still the same dude, getting better. You know, he's still thankful to have everybody around. Like, so yeah, definitely shout out to him, man. Because again, he saved a lot of our lives, too. Them snack bars, aka snack bars.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? You know, we got to keep that. But, you know, hey, we had to eat. hot dogs and chips. Take nachos home.
I was telling my wife, man, like I had a budget about Carl's Jr. saved me. I had like a $2 budget every day. Carl's Jr.'s had these 99-cent double cheeseburgers.
Man.
And I would get two of those and be straight, man. That was like, that's where I learned how to fend for myself, man.
Right.
You know, we did it together.
Survival
like
the fittest.
Put our money together
and
do some things. But it was, I remember JT, the first time I moved out there, the first day, I was with her at the time. The first day I moved out there, I threw up.
Sick.
I threw up on BJ's, threw up on BJ's lawn, front lawn.
Sick.
I've never been out of Fresno. I just felt like I was so far away from home, and I've never threw up in my life. That was the first time ever in my life I did that.
Crazy.
And it was a scary time, but it took me out of my comfort zone, which was great.
Yeah, definitely, definitely dope, man. I don't care. Junior college is a grind, but I'm thankful for it. It was one of the best times I ever had in my life. Road trips, talking to y'all. You know, as we do, we can get personal, but we still love each other. That's how we do. That's how we communicate. And I wouldn't change. Like I said, that was the best, one of the best times ever. So let me get into this, man. After this Fresno State, you go to Fresno State, man, going to get your degree. Okay. Cause again, we all know you love to talk. We love to talk trash, but what kind of steam rolls you in it? Like, let me get into this writing journalist type thing, man. What motivated you, bro? Cause I mean, I can see it now more so clear cause you were good at it then, but I'm like, what pushed you to kind of go into that level and just really dig in, bro?
Well, I'll say this. So, you know, I was chasing the hoop dreams. You know, when I ended up getting a scholarship at Fresno Pacific, I felt like, man, I always wanted to, you know, everybody have NBA dreams. But yeah. I was like, I want to play overseas. Okay. Like, that was always my goal. And shout out to Aaron, who went and had an overseas career that most people would you know, only dream of playing what? How many years? 15?
He going 15
years?
Plus now, bro. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he going. I don't even keep track
ridiculous,
no more.
Man. Ridiculous, but so that was my goal. So I got a scholarship to Fresno Pacific. Didn't get no playing time, JT. It was like Sac City, and it was a full scholarship. And so that like my confidence like got shot because I did all this improvement. I've been a guy that like I steady improve. Like I always want to prove people wrong. I steady improve, and I got to a point where I got somebody to offer me a scholarship. So I don't play, and at this time I'm like 24, JT. And I still had another year left, eligibility. And the coach at the end of the season, he said, and people need to know this, scholarships are on a year-to-year
basis. Yes, sir. Yeah, 1 year, baby.
Year-to-year basis.
Yes, sir.
You know, you think about it, you get a full ride scholarship. No, you don't got a four-year full ride.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a year-to-year basis.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you're just this top star, you know, you're straight. My coach called me in for a meeting. At the end of the season, you know, you have those exit meetings.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hey, we want you back. You know, you're somebody good to have around the team. But we paying you too much. Like, the scholarship, you can't do it. And they, like, we'll give you, like, $7,000 for the year.
That's not
like,
enough.
$7,000 for the year?
Fresno.
And I'm Fresno Pacific University is a private college.
Yes.
And there was just no way. And I'm like, you know what, man? My wife has been telling me for so long, like, get a degree in. Hold on, before I do that. So I stopped, and I started working at Napa Auto Parts. I quit.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I quit. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm going to work at Napa Auto Parts because now I'm 24, and I had two girls at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I had two girls, my wife, and family. So I'm like, I got to start working. Get the basketball dream out. It's not happening.
Yep.
So I'm working at Napa, JT. And I'm doing good. I'm working for a year. I'm feeling like a responsible man. You know, I'm 25 at this time, working at Napa, full-time job. You know, we're living, you know, we're still like way on welfare, but, you know, we're making it. And JT, there was this a manager at Napa who I love. And I work 8-hour days. But at Napa, if you're a Napa driver, the drive for most people, the ambition for most people is to become manager.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to become a manager, But the manager comes in at 6 a.m., 3 hours before the store opens, and he leaves around midnight, 3 hours after it closes.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that because he did it every day. And he worked 6 days a week opposed to me, working 5 days a week. And on the day that he was off, he would still come in, just check in and see how things are going. I knew that. I seen that. But that position was supposed to be the position that everybody strived to get.
Right.
Then one day, this manager told me how much he made, JT. He made $2 more than me. I'm like, hold on.
He spent it all day, every day up there.
All day, every day doing at this job.
Wow.
He got a family and kids, and he making $2 more. I told my wife, I got to go back to school. And JT, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be honest. I did the bare minimum academically to stay eligible.
Yeah.
So I got my 2.0,
mm-hmm.
and I took all these BS classes. I didn't take the core classes. So all that time from Sac City to Columbia to Fresno Pacific,
you had to go over.
I was taking BS classes.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I got to go back. I get a real degree. So the plan was to go to Fresno City College because mm-hmm. I never got my associate degree, mm-hmm. none of that. So I had to go back to Fresno City College. I did a year there. And this is the first time, JT, I'm actually going to school.
Student.
Not playing.
Yeah, you straight student.
Student. And it's hard. It is hard to try to make that adjustment.
Yeah.
I did a year at Fresno City, got my AA degree, transferred to Fresno State, and went there for 2 years. And so to answer your question, JT, it was my last semester at Fresno State before I was to get my degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to take a writing course. Elective to graduate, and it was an African-American writing course. And I love Black history. I love talking about our history. I love all that. And I've never written before. I've never, you know, I wasn't a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm writing these stories and turn them to my teacher, and Dr. Hassan Johnson, still there, professor. He was giving me good feedback. Oh, you're a good writer. Just, you know, critiquing me, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And so I was liking it. I start doing more of it. I was liking it. Then I started thinking, like, hold on. I wonder if I can, like, write about sports, you know? And so I would go watch NBA games on TV and start writing game recaps,
mm-hmm.
you know, from home. And I would send them to different publications, Slam Magazine, whatever publications were out there at that time. I would just send them out.
Yep.
And Slam Magazine was one of the ones that reached out and said, hey, you got some potential. But we can work with you. But if you come on with us, we can't pay you, but we can get you credentialed to NBA games. But you have to be in the NBA market.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay. And so I graduated, and I convinced my wife. She has a different version of this. She might want to say that part.
Oh, my stuff is a different version.
So you're going to leave.
That's part two. That's part two.
That's part two.
That's part two.
So I convinced my wife that we can move. You know what I mean? Plus, you know, things going on in Fresno. I'm 27 at the time, man. It's getting worse and worse, mm-hmm. in Fresno. And I wanted to raise my kids in better surroundings. So I didn't want to come back to Sac because I was there. I've been there at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to go there. And L.A. was just too big. Like, there was no way I think I could make it in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was too big for me. So I picked Portland. A 12-hour drive from Fresno, and I felt like it was close enough to where if I failed out there, I could come back, drive back to Fresno. And so I'm out there, and I couldn't get a job. I was trying to find a job as a PE teacher. Couldn't get a job.
Mm.
Could not find a job. So the only job I could find to work in the day was a security guard at a high school.
That's what I was going to say.
A security guard at an apartment complex.
Right.
So I did that during the day, and at night, I covered Portland Trailblazers games for free. But that I did that for a whole year,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get paid for any of my work, but it gave me publicity, it built my name, and that's how, right. I was able to get my start.
I definitely see. I read that too, like just how you just, again, day job, and then the night was a nice sacrifice to make to build your career. But getting your foot in the door, though, man, just being in the arena, how rewarding was that for you? Even though, again, because I mean, we know I volunteered coaching for years. It wasn't about getting paid. It was about the thing. How rewarding was that gesture right there alone for you, bro, just getting in the building with those guys?
Yeah, it was eye-opening, JT, because I've never been around stars, NBA players. You know what I mean? This is what I envisioned,
right.
You know, getting here. And it was just, it was incredible, man. I couldn't believe I was here. And it wasn't about, like, getting paid. Don't get me wrong. I would have loved to have gotten paid, but just to be going in these locker rooms and, It was overwhelming, to be honest. But I remember this, JT. I remember when I walked into the locker room for the first time and the players saw me. I'm in Portland, Oregon. It ain't too many of us around.
They flocked
to you. And I was the only, I was the only black media member in that market. So when they saw me, they was like, I don't know if they thought I might have been a player at first. Somebody, like, they just signed some 10-day contract or some G League guy, whatever.
Yeah.
But they automatically gravitated towards me, and that helped me. Like, if I went into any other market, L.A. got some black people in the market. But any other market, I don't stand out like I did there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it, my career might not have taken off like it did.
Because I think that time they started to take off a little more. Was Dame there then, your initial time there?
Dame was there my second year.
So I think that definitely helped. Because again, you've been a relatable person, somebody they could talk to. Like, you know what I mean? That made it easier for sure. And I think that's what we started definitely even just, I'm looking like, okay, he up there in it, making it work. And you spent what? I think it's about 2-3 years there or four? Was it 4 years?
I was there more than 4 years.
Four years, right? Portland up there, and you go up there and kill it. What's the next move after Portland? Is that when it goes to Cleveland?
Yeah, let me give credit to the killing part. You know, definitely I established great relationships. And, you know, like, it's like any field, man. Like, relationship building is key.
Mm-hmm.
And who you know is key as well. A lot of people hate to hear that because, you got to be great at what you do. But there's a lot of people that are great writers, but their relationship skills are horrible.
Right.
And they can't get into this business.
Right.
I remember, JT. Remember, I just started writing. Mm-hmm. So I was bad. When I first started, I didn't have an editor. And my editor would just publish the story and wouldn't go over it. And so my stuff would be published. And you'll see in the comment section, people just, oh, you horrible writer. I can't read this stuff. This stuff is bad. You ain't the commas. Everything is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were right. They were right. I kept working to hone in on that. But one thing that I had, JT, that nobody could have was these relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, my writing needed to improve, but I can get LaMarcus one-on-one.
Right.
I can get Dame one-on-one.
Right.
These guys are coming to me breaking their stories through. You can't get that.
Yeah.
So I was able to, you know, hone in and tighten up on my craft.
You can always work on that part, but that, so,
Dame was a big reason of why I was able to shoot up, and I owe a lot to him. He's like a brother to me. Portland's never had a player like him. You know, they had great players, Clyde Drexler, Brandon Roy, but none of those players were these marketable players where you see them all on commercials.
Yeah.
You know, Dame was the first player ever in Portland history. And so as his career started to climb, mine did too, because I was breaking most of his story. He was giving most of his deep interviews to me.
Yep.
And then, you know, long story short, to get to your question, JT, the next phase for me was, like, I wanted to become a national writer.
Right.
I wanted to become a national writer. I looked at Mark Spears, I looked at Mark Stein, I looked at Woj. I wanted to be national writers. David Aldridge. And the only way I was going to be able to do that, I had to move to a more high-profile beat.
Right.
Because even though I was doing my thing in Portland, it's still Portland.
Right.
You know, so I had to move to a more high-profile beat. And at that time, LeBron had just signed back with the Cavaliers after leaving Miami. And in the Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper opened up the position.
Crazy.
That was my next step.
Timing, man. That's dope. And then you go from, man, West Coast to the snow, to the cold. However, it was a great business decision for you, bro. So, I mean, that run at Cleveland, how was that? How was that run there? Man, I know it was a lot of fun. I mean, some big games. You covering the best player in the game. Like, how was your emotions going through that, bro? How was? I mean, I know you had to be pumped, or it was all work. You was just grind, like, you know what I mean?
JT, you could say it was a great business decision, and it definitely was.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I've never lived outside the West Coast before. But let me tell you this funny story, JT. Mm-hmm. Just to add to my ignorance of living out on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I'm out in Cleveland. I've been there probably a month. In California, JT, I don't know if you do it, maybe I'm just irresponsible. But, you know, I have buckets, multiple buckets of cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And whenever I had a leak in the radiator hose or some leak in anything,
yeah,
I put water in it. You know what I mean? It's water.
Yeah.
Water heals everything. Water cures everything. Water.
The remedy.
I don't get, like, I didn't go to Napa and buy antifreeze. Yeah. Water. That's all I did. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
So I'm in Cleveland, and I went on a road trip. And during that road trip, it started snowing. It was like a snowstorm in Cleveland.
All right.
And so when I get back from my road trip and I try to start my car, the car wouldn't start up. I'm like, what's wrong with my car, man? Like,
oh, wow.
What's wrong? I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with my car. Take it to the shop. And the mechanic looks at it and he's like, hey, man, your engine is froze.
Wow.
I'm like, what is it froze for? He was like, it's water in here. It's nothing but water in here. And he's like, you got to put antifreeze in here. I'm like, hold on. So antifreeze don't freeze? He was like, that's why it's called antifreeze. I had JT. I had no clue this whole time my life. But that's what, you know,
that's what it was for.
Antifreeze meant.
That's for
you. Yeah, no clue. And so little things like that.
That's
figuring out the East Coast life. So, you know, I went over there. It was just perfect timing, man. LeBron came over there. Covered LeBron for 2 years in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I built my relationship up with him.
Right.
You know, that was all my plan to becoming a national NBA writer. I knew I had to cover a high profile beat.
Right.
And LeBron, even though I was a beat writer, a local beat writer, LeBron news is national news.
No matter where
No matter what. So in a way, it was a national beat, but I knew that was the step I need to take to ultimately become a national reporter.
Definitely. So. And from outside looking, it always just like people wonder, like we just spoke about, though, that relationship, man, it's contagious with everybody. You see all the guys, let me holler at Chris, or I'm going to holler at Chris on the way out. Like you see in the tunnel sometime, they dapping you up just off. And I think that's super dope. One, they showing you love, but also you putting out a quality information. Like they know it's going to come from, you know, I mean, you're not going to do something, you know, one way or the other, right? You giving it to them real, they giving it to you real, and that's how they want the information to be received, which I think, again, it gives you more clout with them. It's like, look, this dude is legit, so we rocking with him no matter where he at. And I think that's, and again, you in the LeBron relationship, you can see that from, like, it's just crazy how, like, man, y'all, the homie, like that's the homie, like, that's that, but that's good. But he wants somebody who, and he's a trust guy, as we know, right? On, off the court, friends, family, he look out for the people. So that's super dope. Cleveland, you go through your run there, bro, again. But I know, were you itching to get back home? Was it something like, okay, I want to get back to some warmer weather? Or
well, my wife, so after the second year, at the completion of the second season covering the Cavs, that's when they beat the Warriors, came back from 3-1. My wife said she was leaving. She was gone. She hated it. She hated Cleveland. Like, you know how we're used to people being outside?
Right.
You don't see anybody outside over there. And I'm thinking it's that way for the East Coast in general.
Mm-hmm.
She was leaving. She said, look, if you get a job on the West, cool. But I'm gone. I'm taking the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was serious. She was leaving.
Right.
And JT, during the finals of that year, the year that Cleveland won, during the finals, that's when ESPN reached out. So I started interviewing ESPN during the finals. It was Henry Abbott, who's not there anymore. But he interviewed me first in Oakland. He was like, hey, we got a spot at ESPN we think you'd be perfect for. And then when the series transitioned back to Cleveland for games 3 and 4, I interviewed with him again. And crazy, but they wanted me to move to covering the Warriors for them at ESPN. And there was a good thing. It was good and bad about that. The good thing about that was I love the Bay Area, and I did want to come back to California.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good thing. The bad thing is I didn't want to cover one team again. I felt like LeBron, covering LeBron and Cavs, I felt like that was the biggest that it could get.
Okay.
Like, my next step, national reporter.
Right.
So I didn't want to do it. But it was ESPN. It was California. It was twice as much money as I ever made in my life.
Right.
I finally hit 6 figures in ESPN.
A blessing.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I can't turn that down.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't turn that down. Right. Like, it was twice as much as what I was making. So I went to cover the Warriors for ESPN. And to give ESPN credit, they didn't stop me. Like, if I got news that was outside the Warriors, they let me report it. They let me do things. So I appreciate that. But I just didn't want to cover. Yeah. And another thing, too. I didn't want to cover the team that was rival of the Cavs.
I was going to say, because they've just been meeting up every year.
Yeah, they've been meeting up every year.
And they snatch you up.
Yeah, I'm like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
So, look, I told this before once, JT, but when I started covering the Warriors, Draymond knew me from covering them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went in the locker room, Draymond would look at me up and down, like, what's your angle?
Right.
He was like, why are you here? You spying on us?
Right.
You spying on us for the Cavs?
Right.
Like, and he was serious. And that's what I was trying to avoid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because you've always been that neutral business guy. You take care of business. Yeah.
But everybody knew, like, I was pretty tight with LeBron.
Right.
Everybody knew that. And so it's like, you tight with LeBron, and the Warriors players, they know that, and then you come over there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just didn't want it. But the good thing about me going over there at that time was that that's when KD first came. And so me and KD came at the same time. And so all he knew was me over there.
Yep.
And over time, me and Draymond got tight. Yeah. I never had problems with Steph and Clay.
But you can tell you and KD, you and KD's hit off too, because you dropped some stuff to KD quickly, like some fire with KD.
KD came on my, he was my first guest when I started my podcast.
Yep.
It was KD. Yeah. And KD came on, he gave me the first interview on my pod right after that incident happened with Draymond.
Yep.
That was, and he didn't talk, like when that incident happened, he didn't talk to media. Like, you know, he was still pissed.
Just you, baby.
And he gave me that first on my pod, man. And so I got so much love for KD, Brian. But to your point, JT, is like, when it's still word of mouth about when players know who they can fuck with or not.
Right.
Like, and it's like they see Brian. Okay, Brian is really okay. Dame, trust that dude. Okay. Because I remember when, after I started covering Dame, LeBron, and KD, like, all these players knew me, and we didn't have conversations before. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they knew who I was based off of that.
That helped
to have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It got that way with Chris Paul, with Bradley Beal, with John Wall. All like,
they say word of mouth the best, man. You can hold it. It's vouchable. You know, they can vouch for you. Like, look, he's solid. Rock with him. Like, that's...
Still. Dope. And so I did 2 years at ESPN. They wanted to... When my contract was up at ESPN, they offered me another contract. They offered me a 2 or 3 year contract.
Mm-hmm.
They offered me more money. It was a raise, but they wanted me to have the same role. And I felt, you know, I just felt a little disrespected by that. And Yahoo came and they gave me everything that I can ask for, man.
Yeah.
And they gave me everything I can ask for. And I was scared about leaving ESPN because, it's ESPN. You work so hard to get there to that point. You know, you think that's the pros. You feel that way. And I have fun there. And it's just like, if anybody that doesn't know this industry, if they know you work in sports media, they say, oh, you work at ESPN. Like, I'm always still to this day, oh, Chris, ESPN. Like, nah, I was there before, but no, I'm not ESPN. I'm Yahoo Sports now.
Right.
And I was concerned about leaving ESPN due to losing a TV platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yahoo Sports is just, you know, writing. No TV outlet. So I was concerned, but I was like, nah, man, I got to bet on myself, man. I'm a national guy. Matter of fact, I'm one of the best national guys out here.
Right.
I'm going to Yahoo. And they allowed me to bring in my own team. And rarely do you have somebody that looks like me with my shade.
Yeah.
Having say on who is hired.
Well, I did read that too, man, about you bringing on your own team. Like, I mean, that's huge in any business, right? Like, being able to pick your supporting cast or your workers, man. And that's definitely a huge plus. Let me ask you this though, real quick. Just talk about the family part real quick. How was the, I mean, I know how visually seeing it and just, how was moms and dads and wifey feeling, man, during the last couple of phases of these elevation, man? I mean, how much joy was that, or how much joy was that bringing for you to see them see you, you know, make it? How did that make you feel, man, as a provider, a father, a son, you know what I mean? Like, how was that?
They were proud of me, JT. They've been proud, man. I wasn't the easiest child to deal with growing up.
But, yeah.
You know, there's some things that I regret doing as a child. Like, I actually, like, got in a fight with my dad when I was, like, 13 and 14, man, and you know, I grew up in a religious household, and, you know, I grew up, you know, you heard the scripture, you know, you honor your mother and father, so your days
is long. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I remember when I got into that altercation with my dad, you know, you just growing up and, you know, you challenging authority, you know, and, you know, it's going through that phase. I always just felt bad, man. Like after that, like, damn, like that's like one of the worst things you can do, man, as a child. And, you know, I just always felt bad and about that, you know, growing up, you know, I'd had, my grades were always bad and horrible. I was the worst. It's only me and my brother, but I was definitely the worst child, the one that had the most problems. And, you know, man, they're so proud, man. I've gotten to take my mom and my dad, like, on trips with them. We never was a traveling family. You know, we'll fly to San Francisco or something like that, but we never was a flying family. You know, I've got to take my mom to New York and take my dad to New Orleans, Oklahoma City, got them into games, sitting damn near courtside.
Yeah.
You know, and meeting all these stars and players, and, you know, man, and I just see the joy in that, you know what I mean? Like, they always bragging about me. And so I feel better, you know, because that was always something that really bothered me. You know,
right.
You know, having that incident as a child.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's good to have them, to see them proud of me. Because I know for a fact that what many of those, I didn't give them many of those moments, you know, growing up as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, but the timing is everything, like you said, right? So they get to enjoy it in their later lives too, right now, right? Sit back and relax and watch both of her sons, their sons handle business, you know what I mean, as far as, you know, doing what you guys have been doing. And so I want to real quickly, though, because I know it's been about 2 years now. How did the TNT thing come about, bro? Like, because that hit kind of like, that kind of was like bomb, as they say, a.k.a. Woj bomb. That dropped.
Let me go back a little bit.
Yep.
When I went to Yahoo, like I said, I was concerned about losing that TV platform. Mm-hmm. ESPN had it all. But I was luckily able to go to Yahoo, and then Yahoo allowed me to do a contract with FS1 where I could go and appear on Undisputed.
Right.
You know, with Skip and Shannon and them. And so I felt good. I'm like, I have a writing home that's paying me more than I've ever made before. And I still have a TV platform, you know, with Undisputed.
Right.
You know, with Skip. And so I felt good. I felt good. I was like, these are the best years that I've had creatively as a professional. So then one day, man, Tara August, who is the boss lady over there at Turner Sports, man, she called me out the blue. She called me off. It was around, I want to say November of 2019. Yeah. October of 2019. And I didn't know what this was. She always said she's like, because I would do, you know, NBA TV hits and stuff for them from time to time. So she's always just said she liked me. I'm on their radar, blah, blah, blah. But, I didn't know what radar meant.
Right.
Or what she had planned for me. She called me and was like, hey, basically she went straight to it. She was like, hey, we got a sideline opening.
Mm.
We want you to be one of our sideline
reporters. Boy.
And I'm like, JT, I'm blown away. Like, I've never, like, to understand how you become a sideline reporter, like, you've seen it, like, the local games, you watch the local NBA, like, you're supposed to start off
right
doing locally for, you know, maybe some colleges.
Yes.
Even local, the NBA, local broadcast, sideline for that. Then you get to a national broadcast game, like TNT or ESPN. I've never done that before in my life.
That's
never.
Crazy. That's so dumb.
So when she asked me to do that, like, we want you, I'm like, whoa. And then the other part of me was like, can I even do it? Because I'm just be honest. I'm going to be honest and real candid. First of all, I didn't think much of a sideline reporter because I just didn't think a lot of times some of them just didn't add value to a broadcast to me. And I really didn't pay attention to them. Really, I didn't. I paid attention to David Aldridge because he's an OG in the game.
Right.
And he did it phenomenally.
Right.
Phenomenally.
I pay attention to Craig Sager.
Yes. Just legend. Craig Sager. Legend.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I looked at growing up as a child, Ahmad Rashad.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And so those are the images in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't, you know, really pay attention to that part. But still, there's still a skill to trying to talk
mm-hmm.
precisely in a packed arena. You know what I mean? And trying to get your points across. There's still a skill set to that. I didn't know if I can do it.
Right.
I'm just being honest. And they was like, well, we'll give you some 3 practice days, so we'll have you shadow.
3 practice days, huh? That's all you get.
Yeah, 3 practice games. That was it, 3 practice games. So I shadowed Allie LaForce, who was great. Like, I was just with her, watching her do what she did, mm-hmm. watching how she took notes, how she said her thing. Because you got 30 seconds, 30 to 40 seconds
yeah.
to make your point.
Efficient.
You got to get off air.
Yep.
And then, yeah, and then JT, and then the other person I shadowed was, what's my sister? Stephanie Reddy.
Okay.
Stephanie Reddy. And so I followed them, shadowed them, man. And JT, there's a part of the sideline reporting that, you know, when you see me bring everybody back from commercial, mm-hmm. welcome back to Toyota Center, the Houston Rockets lead, blah, blah, blah. Then I go to my report. James Harden told me that blah, 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 blah. And then somebody's in my ear telling me, all right, you're off camera. Walk off the court because the game is going on.
Right.
Walk off the court, but that means continue saying what you're saying.
Yes.
So you have to comprehend what they're saying and still keep your conversation going.
You're asked to do specific things or like on the fly, but efficient, right? I want to see the game, efficient. But still hear what you're saying as we're going out of the commercial. That's crazy.
Exactly.
Man.
And that was something I had to work on. But yeah, no, I wasn't going to turn it down, but I wanted to add me to it. And Tara was like, you know what? We want you doing you. Because I'm a real reporter, JT. I break news.
Yep.
I provide real insight.
Yep.
And I felt like a lot of times, not everybody, but I feel like some sideline reporters just regurgitate the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be that. Like, if I'm come on, I want to give you a nugget. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to be like, dang, Chris just broke that on air doing the bro.
Right.
And they said that's what they want. That's what I try to do when I'm on air. I'm be real. I love it. It's
yeah.
an adrenaline rush every time. I'm nervous every time because you're not used to everybody's like I'm on the court, JT. Like
yeah.
it's like you're one of the players for a moment.
Yeah.
Because you start off on the court. Everybody's looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Everybody's looking at you.
Yep.
And then you slowly, you know, you walk off and the camera goes away, but your voice is still on air. So you got to keep going. When the producer's in here saying, all right, camera's going, keep talking.
Definitely.
So, but I love it. It's adrenaline rush that I'm going to continue to get better.
And, yeah.
You know, due to this pandemic, TNT is not using sideline
reporters
right now for the pandemic. So hopefully things get done quick.
But I will say this, though.
That's how that came about.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And again, you know, timing's everything. I mean, we hate to see it do a pandemic, but, bro, during that run at the bubble, multiple things, right? I mean, again, having the homies the t-shirt on there, just the way you represent it for different people, situations. Again, I know it definitely wasn't easy, but I definitely think, I mean, you did a great job, like, you know what I'm saying, being you, but being 100% you for everybody that can kind of see, like, you know what? He's still that dude. Like, he's not changing during a time where, you know, things could waver. It was like, okay, yep. Being, you know what I mean? Like, I know it took some courage or it also took some support from your backbone, that lady in TNT and her own self, man, give you some support. Like, you know what, Chris? You know, it's you, bro, because everybody wasn't doing that during that time, but I think it was really dope to see you still be authentically you and talk and speak your mind, but also, you know, get your points across, bro. That was really dope.
JT, let me go back to Tara.
Yep.
Because she's a sister and she lives in Sacramento.
Oh, wow.
Sacramento. Yeah, but let me go back to her, to your point about that. Like, I wore that shirt. It was Steve, my boy Steve Jordan.
Yep.
His shirt. The shirt said, all we ever did was be black.
Yep.
And at that time, it was when Milwaukee Bucks boycotted that game.
Right.
And I was there in the locker room, we're waiting on them to come out the locker room. They're standing in the locker room, not coming out. And so TNT, I wasn't scheduled to be on air. That's why the reason I was wearing that. Okay. I wasn't scheduled to be on air. But that stuff happened with the Bucks. So TNT was like, hey, Chris, we need you to come on and give us some insight. And I called Tara. When TNT called me, I said, hey, Tara, TNT just asked if I would come on, but I don't have no suit on right now because I didn't, you know, I wasn't planning on, I wasn't supposed to be on TV. And I said, I got this shirt that says this, and I sent her a picture of it. And she responded back, no, nah, that's fine, and it's appropriate for this moment. Go ahead. And that's how she gave me the go-ahead to go.
Dope.
And wear that on national TV, man. That's how that happened.
Dope, man. Dope. Well, I mean, I finishing up right now. I appreciate your time, man. I mean, if you got...
Hey, JT, let me say this.
Yeah.
I got to give you tremendous props, man, because my wife right here, she's smiling. I know you're young in this game, in this podcast game.
Yeah.
You're doing a tremendous job because you did research, man. And, like, you going back and breaking down like each chapter.
Yeah.
Like, that's how a podcast is supposed to be conversational. It's
right.
Not just to be like this interrogation type of format.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be conversational. And the way you can make it conversational is if you've done your research and you apply it. You could have easily, and that's what I was expecting. Like, we come over here and shoot shit and talk. And it would have been great content.
Right.
And I'm impressed with you. You went back and did this, man. That means a lot to me, man. Like,
hey,
you didn't have to.
Like, our iron sharpens iron. I've been watching, bro. Like I said, it's been inspiring, bro. Like I said, to see somebody I really know, though, do it on a major scale and then see Mark do it. But then again, shout out to a dude, Odie Strahan, who kind of been mentoring me on the side here in SAC. But they like, man, you got to do this. I mean, last night he just shoot me text, Jay, check these analytics out when you want to put your pods out. You hit me back just for whatever. I mean, from the coaching stuff, it's like, you know what? So the support is everything for me, as you know, right? Because I mean, that's the coaching me too. I'm coaching. I want to do my research, but also I want to be prepared. I'm noticing too, the more prepared we are, and I've seen you, the better the results is. So I'm like, you know, bro, I really, I'm super excited, bro. And I know when this one drops, man, they're going to feel it, man. I hope to just continue it going. And I'm trying to find ways also to inspire these kids through this pandemic. Through just even ups and downs, or not just pandemic, right? Because we all took our L's. What can you say to them again at the end of this right now to let them know, look, man, because this could be you, right? Because I'm sure it's some young men. Again, we both want to be playing basketball to get paid, right? But now we got to find other ways, but still be around the game and still live because it's there, right? The percentage of everybody making pro, we know ain't there. But your story is dope. I got this story, you know what I mean? So what could you say to some youth, boy, girl, whoever just is... Stay with it right now. Stay mentally tough through this hard time.
It's so hard, JT. This is what I'm going to say. It's so hard when you grow up in a certain area and that's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's your world.
Right.
That's it. Like, you don't see beyond that. Everything else that you hear about really doesn't exist. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
That was my mindset in Fresno. This is what I would say, because there's a lot of people who are like that, whether you come from Sacramento and you just stay in that area or you stay in a certain section of Sacramento, like your whole family, especially when your whole family, everybody is there.
Right.
Everything. You shop there. You grocery, like there. Like when you just have that mindset or that outlook on life, then all you ever deem possible are the positions and the jobs that are
in your area, right?
In your area. That's it. JT, I remember this. My wife always get mad because I always go in these stories. But I got to because I feel like it adds context, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's my boy JT.
It's real.
So in elementary school, JT, so you know, I got straight F's elementary all the way up to high school. I ended up graduating high school late because of that. But I got straight F's in elementary. And back in those days, the smart classes were called the gate classes.
Yep.
Those were the classes that kids who got 3.0s or higher.
Yep.
But anyways, it was this one gate class. The teacher was Miss Harvey. Every year, her class would go to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
on a field trip. And you had to be in that gate program, that gate class, to go to Washington, D.C. And I wanted to go. I've never been. I said, I'm cool to go to Washington, D.C. where the White House is at. You know, I've never traveled.
Right.
But the thing was, they were only sending these students that had A's and B's.
Right.
And I always thought that was odd. I was like, well, if a person like me went, I think it would be even more beneficial for a person like me, because if I seen Washington, D.C., and I remember, JT, I'm 28 or 29 when I first went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And D.C. And that was because I got this job.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first time I went. And JT, I saw the brothers downtown dressed in suits,
mm-hmm.
briefcases, going to court.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not on trial.
Right.
They were the lawyers.
Right.
They were the judges.
Fact.
JT, that tripped me out.
Blew your mind.
It blew my mind. I ain't never where I'm from. You don't see black men like that.
Yep.
It blew my mind. So, and I'm 28, 29 at this time. So JT, if I was 10 or 11.
Right.
And had the opportunity to go to Washington D.C. back then and see that, like, hold on. There are people that live like this. Like, the Bill Cosby family is real.
Right.
Like, I hated Bill Cosby back in the day because I'm like, man, I don't know no black people like that.
Right.
Where their dads went to college, their grandpas went to college, like it was a tradition of family.
Right.
That wasn't real to me.
Right.
But if I was 10 and 11 and seeing Washington, D.C. and seeing these prominent black professionals, that would have changed my outlook.
Right.
But yet, they only afforded that opportunity for the kids who are getting A's and B's. And, like, I'm not saying nothing, but I'm pretty sure I'm probably more successful than each and every one of those A's and
that B's were in you
back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And speaking of that, I'm going to definitely give a shout out to the oldest, right? She's going to HBCU, Clark Atlanta. She's going to get to experience that. And that's the thing. We have to expose our kids. Again, I'm HBCU alum, Alcorn State University. Like, it's different. But however, it's contents, it's responsibilities, it's growing up. But it's a lot of educated, smart doctors, lawyers. I mean, Alcorn was an ag school, all these Morehouses. My guys went to church with that are doctors with the Morehouse. These dudes are the smartest of the smartest. And they're like us. And they're like us, but we have to expose our youth, our communities at an early age. It's okay to want to go to a black school and do something like that. Well, no matter where you want to go, but you have options. And I think that definitely could have changed even my mind. Oh, I didn't know until I got later on, but that was because my mom lived in Mississippi and I heard about it growing up and I watched it. But again, if they didn't, I would have been probably like you, right? Like, oh, I don't know nothing about an HBCU.
Yeah.
But I definitely think
it's,
you know, so it's great, man. And shout out to her.
That's my message. Get out of your comfort zone.
Yep.
Get out of, like, expose yourself to new things. Like, there's people who live in Oakland, right? Kids live in Oakland, never been across the bridge in San Francisco.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's kids that live in D.C., but never been over there downtown where the monuments are at.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, expose yourself. Get outside your comfort zone. And that's what, like, and to these programs, so, like, it makes no sense to expose kids. Like, expose all kids. Give all kids the opportunity.
Yes.
You know what I mean? To go out, get busted, or fly to certain places. Don't award just the people that's getting A's and B's, because you know how school is, man. Look.
Based on income.
Based on income. But school is really like getting A's and B's. You're just doing your work. It's not really nothing smart about that. You just do your work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the best people that get A's and B's just know, like, when I first started going to Fresno State and mm-hmm. Fresno City, when I went back to school, when I was just a student for the first time,
start thinking.
It was just about doing your work. I wasn't smarter. I just did my work.
Right.
And so, you know, I ain't saying we should not award that, or they shouldn't be commended for that.
Yeah.
Because getting A's and B's, that's what we want to do.
Yes.
Give everybody an opportunity, man.
But like your stories, like our stories, bro. It's the work that's put in. Like, you took chances on yourself. Like you said, you bet on yourself. You had to have some support. I mean, you got to go out, and if something you want to do, you found that passion. That's the thing too, though, man. I see it in you. I see it in, like, it's not work for y'all, not work for us, because you love what you're doing. And that's probably the biggest thing I can take from this, though, bro. If people are able to find something they love to do and they can do it and get paid for it, make a living, you're winning. Like, that's the ultimate goal of someone in life. Because, like, as we know, I've been in a spot before where I didn't like where I was working at and I had to leave. You know what I mean? Go back to school, got a master's degree, and it made me feel better. But again, to see you doing something you love to do, but you're still being you, you're still reachable. You're still, I can phone call away, bro. Like, this, I can ask them better than that. As a friend, as a teammate, you know what I mean? Like, shoot, it's definitely dope, man. I appreciate you again taking time out your schedule.
Hey, hold on, JT.
Go ahead.
Hold on, JT. Hold on, man. I gotta apologize, man. You were verbally abused, man. You were almost damn near assaulted, man. When I called you, when I hosted my media jam, This was 2018 NBA Finals. The Warriors were going up against the wasn't the Raptors then.
Cavs?
Yeah, the Cavs. Probably was the first two with the Cavs.
Yeah.
And so I called you to come ref. my media brother and sisters, they were going off for you, man. They were giving you some lip. Did you call one tech?
Oh, yeah, I did. I gave a dude. Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah, I gave one.
You know who was?
Man, you know what? I forgot what team it was for, dude. I don't know. It was so, but it was for me, Chris. And then, but again, right? A phone call away, you needed me. And plus for me, being around ball, that was so dope. But again, that event was crazy because y'all had some of the media people can hoop. A couple of the young ladies was in there hooping. What's the Australian dude? They ain't no hit the game winner, I believe, with the Australian dude.
He's from the I don't know which one it was.
Him and the other.
They were on NBA team.
Yeah, they got their little group of the little guys. I forgot they was called, but I can't think of it. I gotta look at it. He was so cool. Like, hey, that was dope, man. For me, I wasn't tripping. I was ready to get there, bro. Like, I had fun. You said, can you do all 8-9 games? Yep, I got you, bro.
You did all of them, man. You did all of them. No breaks, man.
I
knew you were still in shape because, you know.
But it was definitely dope, man. It was, again, for me, again, also, it's about experience, bro. I'll never forget that. Cook came by, got to meet him, Quinn Cook came by, said what's up. Just meet different people in the media realm. Again, for me, and that started to pique my interest, too, more about what you were doing, though, because I'm like, these some really cool people, and their job ain't easy, but they're really cool, because I was like, we talk in the little food room, and I was like, huh. And again, but for me, that kind of planted that seed, too. Like, dang, Jay, you love talking about sports. You love to talk to people. And I was like, okay, you know, but yeah, man, I got you, man. Like, same thing. Whenever you need something, that's why I called you today. Check on the fam. If you needed me, bro, you know, I got you. So, yeah,
it's no reason. That was cool. That was fun. I'm glad you were able to.
Starters. That's what it was. The starters. Yeah, that definitely was super dope, man.
I
want to
make sure I got them.
Yeah.
Right. One of the gentlemen from the Starters hit a game winner, man. But no, that was a fun event. And
definitely fun.
We had planned to do it the following year, but.
Now, the next one is going to pop off because it's going to be, I think now they got to get your own arena, bro. It's going to be too big for that little hole in the wall.
It was a good turnout.
It's going to pop, bro. Before we go, though, I do also, again, I seen like yesterday with Cole, rest in peace, Cole, but also, his name was Sudoku?
Sekou,
man. I've watched him for years. A good dude. It's sad to see our people leaving so fast lately. And on the anniversary, whatever you want to call it, celebration of Kobe, too, man. It's like, it's tough. So, I mean, I just know as a person, I mean, I'm praying you making it through. Because, I know those relationships with you, again, another black male that you got time to spend with and kind of learn and learn stuff from. He was a good dude. I always watched him. He's always good, man. Laid back. I like his demeanor, though. You know what I mean? He was always cool and laid back, man. So, but again, it's crazy.
I was with Sekou in the bubble, man.
Yeah.
Great dude. I'm sorry. That's why I was so late getting to this podcast.
Oh, no, you're straight.
I did Emergency Pod.
Okay.
The podcast I do.
Yeah.
Remember some Sekou. I got Mark Spears on.
Shout out to Mark.
Mark Stein on.
Met him too.
Vince Goodwill and Morgan Mitchell. And so I had them all on just talking about, you know, Sekou, what he meant to us, man. But no, thank you for bringing him up.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, again, appreciate your time, my dog. Be safe out there. The family safe. I'll see you when you get back. Whenever it is, we definitely got to link up, bro. I appreciate you.
All right, for sure, JT.
Appreciate you, man. All right, boy.